2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by www.shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman, and I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Welcome back, Chet.
Bill, great to be here, as usual, especially after such an impressive win by the Birds this past Sunday.
Absolutely. We'll get into that quite a bit. And we want to thank Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown. We'll again be giving away an autographed 8x10 photo this week. It will be a black and white photo signed by former Eagles linebackers Bill Berge and John Bunning to the first person that can call in and answer our trivia question. We will get to that in the second half of our show, but we want to welcome in our special guest and a guy I feel I've known my entire life, former Eagles linebacker and present broadcaster, Kevin Riley. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Our www.shopforkisses.org phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855. However, we're not going to take any calls while we have Kevin with us so we can talk as much Eagles with him as possible. If you want to offer a comment, go to the Philly Press Box Facebook page and send a personal message. We'll do our best to get your comment or question on the show for Kevin as time allows. Chet, before we get started, I have to give up both Kevin and I on a story. So here it goes. About 1972 or so, I'm going to give up my age and Kevin's. Well, I was in about the 8th or the 9th grade, and Kevin was a linebacker at Villanova. He had to do an internship, I guess it was, in order to graduate from college. And he did that internship as one of my teachers at Collingdale High School. So with that said, I've known Kevin and been a fan of his for many, many years. And I'm excited to have him on with us tonight.
Bill, you have a great memory, buddy, because that goes back a long time. What I was actually doing was back in the day, we didn't make enough money to playing football that we could live off it all year, so we had to take other jobs, and I was a substitute teacher. And if you'll remember, that was my first year in the league, and there was another guy from Westchester University that was also playing in the National Football League. His name was Tom Parentozzi.
Yes, he was. I remember it well. He was a St. James guy as well, I believe.
That is correct. So you've got a great memory.
Yeah, well, you know, as being a high school football player at the time, a young guy, and we were obviously attracted to you guys. First of all, you were the two biggest guys walking around the school at the time, and just the fact you were football players was a great attraction to all of us young football players. And we followed your careers every minute of the way.
Well, I really enjoyed my time there. As a matter of fact, I think it was 1973, I got three guys together. You guys didn't have any weight room at the time. And I trained them in weightlifting and even got them in a powerlifting contest down in Wilmington, Delaware. And that was a thrill for me. It was my first real coaching experience. And no matter what time I told those three guys I'd pick them up somewhere in Collingdale, they were there on time and with their bags to go lift. So it was really a neat experience.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, Chet, we're going to turn Kevin over to you and welcome him aboard, and let's talk some Eagles.
All right. Hey, Kevin, a lot's been made of the fact that Nick Foles lined up under center much more often than usual in the Giants game, a very impressive 27-0 Eagles win. And by lining up that way, that seemed to help the running game out quite a bit. Is it just because the running back, Shady McCoy in particular, has something of a better running start and therefore a little momentum when he takes the handoff, or what is it?
Well, I think that's true. The other thing that happened there, Chet, was for whatever reason, in the first five games of the season, they were bringing a free safety up into the box a lot on first down, I'd say 90% of the time. And he was almost acting like a spy with Shady McCoy. And I believe that's part of the issue that you just brought up, is he gets a little bit of a better start. But Foles was seeing that the Giants, for whatever reason, did not do that. Now, I don't know why, because it's been so successful against Shady the first five games. But there was a combination of things. I think it was he gets a little better running start, the fact that the safety was not coming up into the box. I think you also got to add to the fact that the offensive line finally got a couple weeks together to do some run blocking. After that 49ers game, which they lost, one of the situations that people kept asking is, how come they didn't run the ball more? Well, when you get one offensive lineman off of a good running team hurt, it messes up the synchronization between the other four guys that are in there and the backup that's coming in. Imagine what must have been happening when the Eagles taking a look at playing at times three, and the time that Jason Peters got thrown out of the game, four second-string linemen. And even with that, they were able to maintain and protect them from sacks. So you got to give Chip Kelly and his people a lot of credit for keeping guys fresh during practice and getting them reps, because you never know when you're going to have to call on them like that. So I think it was a combination of things, and I don't think you have to look very far outside of our NFC to see that one of the reasons the Dallas Cowboys are doing so well is DeMarco Murray is averaging 100 yards a game. When the running game is going in the NFL, it's easy to get the rest of the game intact.
Yeah, and hopefully the Eagles will be even better when they get Kelce and Mathis back in a few weeks. Now, you mentioned Nick Foles. He does have seven interceptions and three fumbles. That's, of course, a lot worse than he did last year when he only had two interceptions the whole year. How big a concern is the fact that he's turned the ball over so often in these first six games?
Well, it's more of a concern to me that, he's fumbling the ball. Not that it's not a concern with the interceptions. I think he's made some really bad choices. I saw him at times this year go into a little bit of the Michael Vick mode where he was trying to make something happen that wasn't there. And I think that's just being impatient and probably coming off of such a great season last year. Remember, he's not played a full season in starts yet, and so he's still a rookie by that standard. The other thing that happens is they got eight games of Nick Foles, eight or nine games last year of him on film. And people take a look at those eight or nine games, and they'll pick up tendencies, and they'll pick up this and that. And I think they really defended him well this year. He didn't surprise anybody, and he's going to have to make adjustments. And I think we saw the first time that they made adjustments was against the Giants. They really played well, special teams, defense, and offense. I don't have any concerns with his smarts, his arm, his size. I mean, it helps that he's 6'5". If you take a look at, he's had very few balls batted down, and that used to happen twice a game with Vic. So there's a lot of good things going on there, but I think that once they get film of you, and we all go back to the well that served us well, and Nick has a tendency to do that, that they were just trying to take things away from him. But there's no doubt, Chet, that he was having trouble pulling the trigger in the first couple games.
Yep.
Hey, Kevin, regarding the Giants game, what was your take? Obviously, it was a dominating win. Do you think that the Eagles looked that good? Or, I mean, the Giants front seven on defense was just horrible.
Yeah, they were, and I never expected the turnout to be like it did. Shutting out Eli Manning, I thought he was rolling on this offense now. Three straight games of over 30 points. He was getting the ball out quick. I have been calling Eli, and I say this a little lovingly, I call him skitterish, because he is the kind of guy that does not like to get hit, but Nick Foles could take a page out of his what he does on the field by throwing the ball away once in a while. Getting sacked eight times surprised me more than anything, because he'll throw the ball downfield like he did last year with the 28 interceptions rather than get hit. He took a lot of punishment on Sunday night. And I think one of the things, and I said it in my pregame show, if they get to him early, you can really get in his head. And they got in his head. And you could see as the game progressed, He was thinking in his head, 1001, 1002, they're right here. I got to get rid of it, or I got to start running. He wasn't very patient in the pocket, and I think that was key. Billy Davis has surprised me as a defensive coordinator. He has said from the beginning of this year, we will get better, and he has gotten better, and he defended Curry Williams and Fletcher last week at the presser, at his press conference, saying, when I left the game riding home in the car against the 49ers, he said, I thought we played awful in the fourth quarter. And then I watched the films, and I thought, we didn't play that bad. We were right there a lot of times. You know, I've been talking about it on the air. Kerry Williams and Fletcher need to turn their heads around once in a while and take a look at where the ball is. If Williams had done that, he not only would have knocked the ball down, he might have had some interceptions. So he said it was a lot of little things that went wrong in the fourth quarter, and I don't think much of the press was buying at the time, and I was a little skeptical, but they did something that really turned it around defensively. And now I think the fact that they've got it turned around last week, we may see this team continue to get better. That's what Chip did last year with this team. They got better as the season wore on. But you know, if you take a look at that schedule, there's a four-game stretch, gentlemen, that says Green Bay, Dallas, Seattle, and Dallas. Holy mackerel, that's going to be some kind of schedule there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a bit, but let's get back to the defense. You mentioned how well everybody played on Sunday night, Kevin, even the secondary. What about that
even
front
Casey,
seven, though?
Even yeah, Casey Matthews.
Yeah. Really?
I've been killing this guy for 2 years because I don't think he's a linebacker in the NFL, but he's changing my mind.
He made some plays.
He made some plays, and you know, maybe, and this has happened a lot of times before, when you get the reps in, and I thought he had some reps his first year, but maybe they were under duress. When you start getting the reps in and you have a coach that understands what your skill levels are and what they aren't, he can put you in the right position to make plays. And Casey was decent 2 weeks ago, and he was above being decent last week. But you asked me about the front seven. I've had a pet love on that team with Vinnie Curry. I just really, really like this guy, but they kept saying, yeah, we can't get him more reps because he can't handle a run. Well, I think you're seeing that he can handle the run now, and they are rotating seven strong guys in there and out of there week in and week out. And none of those guys seem to take any offense to that. I mean, you've got some defensive players that want to play all the snaps or most of the snaps. These guys are playing as a team right now. Cox is playing well. You've got Trent Cole. I'm going to the linebacker spot, but he's playing almost like a 53-man in the old Dallas. I mean, the old Dolphin slot. He's playing like Bob Matheson. He's coming off the edge and coming hard. And he got a sack, I think, last week. But boy, he's been applying a lot of pressure. But you know, I like Bear too. This kid Bear, I liked him in training camp, but I didn't think he was going to make the club. He made the club. He got his first sack last week. These guys, if they decide that they're going to play with a little bit of bad intentions and they're going to be fresh, they're going to create a lot of problems for offensive lines who we all know go the entire game every snap.
Yeah, Brandon Graham's looked good too. Of course, he's playing for a new contract. Connor Barwin had a terrific game the other night. One of the big concerns that we had going into this season was getting pressure from that front seven. But, man, 8 sacks the other night, 16 sacks over the last 3 games. Looks like they're getting the pressure.
Well, they sure are, and they're getting it without blitzing a lot. That's what's impressive to me. The last 3 games, these guys have started to get it. And Connor Barwin, by the way, he is an animal. This guy just, his motor is as high as Trent Cole's was when Cole was in his prime, but he's a little bit more physical. He's a little better athlete. And I think he's very, very, you know, slowly becoming the leader of the team, taking nothing away from D'Amico Ryans, because he is the leader, but they're starting to look to Barwin and say, man, if that guy's playing that hard, I've got to. I saw last week where the defense really started to get after people and started to say, I think we're pretty good. I think we're better than everybody thinks we are. And let's see what happens if that continues, because that's key for the Eagles going forward into the playoffs. If that defense doesn't get better, they'll never make it to the Super Bowl. But I got a feeling right now that they may have the player personnel to do that if they can continue to improve each week.
Connor Barwin's got that wild haircut, too, that I like.
I'll tell you what.
I was going to ask you, Kevin, about the linebackers. You know, specifically, you being a linebacker, what do you think of that group with Ryan, Kendrick, Barwin, and Cole? I haven't been sold on Cole in that stand-up position, but he's done pretty well. He's rushed the quarterback, and he hasn't gotten – I was worried that they were going to match up and get these good running backs out in space with him and get him in a position that he couldn't make plays, but that hasn't seemed to happen. And the four of those guys seem like they're a pretty good bunch.
They really do, and you know, as soon as they get who's the guy that's hurt right now?
Kendricks.
Kendricks. As soon as they get Kendricks back, this could really turn into a wild bunch because they are really doing well right now, playing efficiently, playing downhill, which I like. They're able to spell each other. That's another crucial thing. They're rotating whole groups into that series in the front seven, pounding the linebackers. And that's so important when you can come out for a couple blows and not have to take, a play off, as they say, on the field. You can take your play off or two plays off on the sideline and come back refreshed. And, you know, that kind of hitting and that kind of energy is really catching, especially on the defense, which plays with such motion. So I really think that they're going to continue to improve. And, you know, we were talking about Kendricks. He is a talent also. And if they can get him healthy and get back, I think they're going to really be somebody. You know, they're really going to be a defense that gets the ball turned over more to our offense. Beginning of the year, guys, we're not able to get to 80 plays because the defense was on the field way too long.
All right, Kevin, we're about a season and a half into the Chip Kelly era. What's your assessment of Chip so far in terms of his coaching style, game planning, decisions about how to utilize his players, et cetera? I know the media guys like yourself love Chip, it seems, but what's your take overall on Chip?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think he's terrific. I think he's one step away from a genius. I think that he's going to, you know, really revolutionize some of the offensive play calling if he's in the league long enough. That's my biggest concern, is that he, you know, gets tired of coaching at this level and wants to go back to college where you have a lot more control. I'll tell you a story that I haven't told many people. 2 days before the combine, this is going to give you an indication of how this guy is dedicated to what he does. 2 days before the combine, I get a phone call from my co-host, John Miller, who is no longer doing the games with me. He's got a business that's taken up most of his time, but we did 13 years together on the Eagles countdown and kickoff and fifth quarter. And I get a clandestine call from him, and he's whispering over the phone his other businesses. He's a public relations business for content, for e-marketing. And he went to a seminar taught by a guy by the name of Simon Sinek. He's an author who's written some books on leadership, the last of which is Leaders Eat Last. And for $250, I think, you could go and hear Simon talk about his latest book. He'd sign a copy for you, and you could leave. So John calls me, and he's kind of whispering. He says, I'm in a room with 75 other executives who have paid $250 each to hear Simon Sinek talk. And there's one head coach. His name is Chip Kelly.
Hmm.
And I think that tells you all about this guy's attention to detail. I really believe that one of the reasons we are 5-1 is because this guy plays such attention to detail. And they'll tell you that there's three or four plays a game that turn a game from a win to a loss or a loss to a win in the NFL. And while things were getting straightened away offensively and defensively for the Eagles, who was playing well? Their special teams. There isn't anybody that gives more attention to the special teams in the NFL than Chip Kelly. The special teams practice is in between the offense and the defense. Most of the 99% of the rest of the league, all of the league except for the Eagles, practice special teams either after practice or before practice starts, and they practice with only the guys that are participating on special teams. He makes it meaningful because everybody has to watch and be engaged because he expects them, if they're backups, to go in and know the rules and to play hard. And if you've seen Brandon Graham, he has really, really played a step up from special teams that he played last year. And if you hear him talk about it, we interviewed him after the game last week, He said he just found out that that was one of the ways he was going to continue to get reps as a defensive end, is by displaying his passion for special teams. So I just think, I think the world of the guy. I think the guy is one step ahead of everybody else in the NFL. And I don't know if all the media likes him, Chet. But he has, I think you will see it at the press conferences. He doesn't have much tolerance for guys trying to ask him the same question, designed and worded in a different way, two and three times during a press conference. It's pretty apparent to me, but some of these other guys, they don't get it.
At least he gives you something in the press conference, unlike his predecessor.
Yes. Well, you know.
Well, and to your point, Kevin, I think, but by adding Brian Braman, Chris Maragos, and those couple guys, and obviously Darren Sproles, he made an impact right up front. Hey, we're going to get better out there, and because those guys are backup, you know, regular players, but they are fantastic impact special teams players.
And it's a Bill, it's infectious. When you get four or five core guys playing hard, it's you feel guilty if you're one of the other guys and you're not putting it out. But it's more than that. This is the first team that I would say could pass and get 90s on the rules on special teams. If you watch our guys now, when there's a punt by the great punter Donnie Jones, who just continues to get the ball inside the 10-yard line, making teams go 90 yards, and, you know, now the Parkey kicking the ball and getting touchbacks, it's a big deal to have to go 90 and 80 yards to start your drives, and especially at this level. So these two guys have really been doing a great job, but I see guys running down now under punts that get to the goal line and face where the kick is coming from to knock the ball back. And the other night against the 49ers, I watched a guy from the 49ers go after a punt, and it was going out of bounds at the four, and he tapped it in back over his head. That told me he had no idea that that ball would have gone out at the four-yard line, would have been placed at the four-yard line. There are guys in this league that don't know the rules, and I don't know why that is, getting paid the money they're getting paid. But you're absolutely right. Special teams has been very special this year.
Kevin, you alluded to this earlier. The Eagles have lots of tough games ahead, road games in Arizona and Green Bay, a home date with Seattle later on, and, of course, the Thanksgiving Day battle down in Dallas, which is going to be a whole lot of fun on Turkey Day. So it's nice to be 5-1, but what is the outlook for these final 10 games?
Well, I think a lot, Chet, depends, and I always say this is no a cop-out. I think a lot depends on injuries. And, you know, the Eagles were the healthiest team in the NFL last year going into the playoffs. And a lot, again, I have to point to Mr. Chip Kelly, who's got a lot of these guys believing in their own personal health. Brent Celek is a guy that will go 20 minutes telling you about how it's changed him and how much better he feels and younger he feels since he's gotten into a regimen of eating properly and doing light weightlifting during the week. So I think it depends on injuries. And, you know, they've got a guy trying to think of Sean's last name, Sean Hulls. Sean Hulls is a guy that he brought on. And when I saw Sean Hulls' title, I wasn't sure of what this guy did. I had never heard of a title like that. And what he had done is this: Sean Hulls had been with the Navy SEALs for 5 years. And during that five-year period, he had decreased their soft tissue injuries by 75%. That's your hamstrings, you know, your quad strains and your calf strains and all that stuff. And he's done a great job with keeping these guys in shape. I just think, not to avoid your question, I think a lot has to do with, you know, guys that are not as prepared as the Eagles with backups and situations and are going to be, you know, suspect to maybe having a backup quarterback in one of those games. That being said, if everybody's healthy, I think it's going to be rock'em sock'em. That four-game stretch right there, if you said to me, we'll give you 2-2 right now, I'd take it.
Hmm. Well, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, I saw an interview the other day that really I thought was interesting. A guy was asked who was the MVP of the Eagles season thus far, and his answer was Sean Payton. He says his reasoning was his misevaluation of Malcolm Jenkins and Darren Sproles' impact to his football team and what their impact would be to the team that they happened to end up, both ended up together with, makes Sean Payton the MVP of the Eagles. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know if Sean Payton had that much to do with it, but the general manager certainly did. And I can remember seeing a tweet by who was it now? It was one of the Saints that tweeted about how much they were going to miss Darren Sproles. And, you know, you didn't see any of the Eagles doing tweets like that about missing number 10 here, DeSean Jackson, because he was not loved in the locker room. This guy, Darren Sproles, he's one of the reasons that we're 5-1 right now. He just absolutely put us on his back on two games and won them for us. And I just don't know what they were thinking of. A fifth-round draft pick for a guy that can play this well? I mean, he's having an outstanding season. And at 32 years old, the thing that surprises me the most is he's still got the speed. And he gets the top speed in about three steps, which is something that is so important. You know, they talk about 40 times. 40 times one thing. But if you can get to your top speed in three steps, you're going to beat a lot of people to the point of attack, and that's what's so important.
All right. Well, Kevin, I'm going to turn you over to Chet for just a minute. We're going to he's going to explain to you what we – what we do to all our guests here. So we'll turn that over to him, and hopefully you're still here in about 5 minutes.
All right.
Don't be worried, Kevin. You'll be all right. All right, time to give Kevin Riley a turn in the rapid-fire hot seat. The way we do it, Kevin, is I'll ask you about 10 or 12 questions, and your job is to simply answer them with just a couple of sentences each. So quick and easy, no problem.
Okay.
Here we go. All right, Kevin, LeSean McCoy led the league in rushing last year with 1,607 yards. He got off to a slow start this season. He's got just 422 yards through six games, but he is starting to pick up the pace. About how many rushing yards will Shady finish with this year?
Just over 1,000.
We'll take it. What two AFC teams will be the division winners with the best records and earn first-round buys? AFC.
That will earn first-round buys?
Yes.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Seattle. I have to go with Seattle. And
AFC.
San Diego? AFC. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I said I'm thinking. Oh, San Diego?
Yep.
Maybe one. The way they're playing right now with Phillip Rivers is really, really well. And, boy, there's going to be a whole bunch bunched up here because that's becoming very interesting. I'm gonna pass on that. I don't know.
Okay, how about the NFC? Who are the two best teams in the NFC? Who's going to get those two first-round NFC playoff buys?
Well, I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles, without a doubt.
I like it.
And I still believe the Seahawks are going to wake up from their Super Bowl stupor here and pull it out.
All right. Now, you were the Birds special teams captain back in the day. How good is this current group of Eagles special teamers?
Might be the best special teams ever to wear the green and white.
All right. Now, you weren't out there on offense, of course, in 73 and 74, but how much fun was it to have an up-close view of Roman Gabriel, Harold Carmichael, Charlie Young, and those guys back then?
It was unbelievable. You know, these guys are legends in NFL, and it was unbelievable. Palling around with them also was unbelievable. I don't think the athletes are much different today than they were back then, but nobody talked about us.
You played with Tom Dempsey, too. He was a kicker, of course, but he was fun to watch also, right?
Fun to watch and fun to play with. Our heaviest guy on the team at 281, and he won hit of the week twice in 1974.
That's right. He did like to hit.
Nobody expected a kicker to be the safety guy. He was looking. He was headhunting most of the time, and he played defensive end in college, so he knew how to play the game.
Oh, yeah. Other than the paychecks, how is the NFL different from 40 years ago when you played?
Oh, the camaraderie. The camaraderie's not there like it was 40 years ago. I still go to dinner with Frank LeMaster, Keith Krefli, John Bunning, Bill Berge. We get together a lot. Coach Vermeil joins us from time to time. You know, we didn't make a lot of money back then. My first year in the league, are you ready for this? I made $17,000.
Wow.
And as D'Amico Ryan said to me when I told him that, he said, you couldn't pay for my fine being out late on a Friday night.
All right, Kevin, you're a football guy. What's your second favorite sport to watch?
My second favorite sport to watch is baseball. I love baseball. As a matter of fact, the first professional scout that ever scouted me was a baseball scout by the name of Judy Johnson. down here in Wilmington, Delaware. He's in the Hall of Fame now, one of the first Negro players to break that barrier. And I was a catcher. I was a skinny, fast, talented, athletic catcher, and they were looking at me then. But as I got through my senior year in high school, something had to give, and I decided to play football.
Well, since you mentioned that, I'm going to throw in an ad-lib question here. The Kansas City Royals just advanced to the World Series. They still haven't lost in the postseason. Can the Royals beat the Giants or Cardinals?
Well, look out for those Cardinals. They've been there before. They don't get too excited about being there. And I don't think the Royals can beat the Cardinals.
All right. Now, Kevin, I read a lot of fascinating stuff about you on your Wikipedia page. What's tougher, playing golf with one hand or tying a necktie with one hand?
Oh, playing golf. Playing golf without a doubt. It's a funny thing because I've run a couple golf tournaments. I run the Dick Vermeil golf tournament now the last 5 years for Boy Scouts of Chester County. But before that, I ran a big one for leukemia back in the mid-'80s, where we had guys like Joe DiMaggio, Spanky McFarland, Franco Harris come in, Warren Spahn, some real big names. And we always had a pro golfer come in. And Fuzzy Zeller became friends of mine because he came in for this golf tournament, and we hit it off real well. And as a matter of fact, the doctor who operated on me at Sloan Kettering Hospital ended up on a chance meeting him, Fuzzy, down here at that golf tournament and operated on his back. So Fuzzy wanted to see me hit some balls one day before his exhibition that he was giving to the crowd, and I hit a couple off the tee, and the fourth one I sliced. And I said, what am I doing wrong? And he said, you're using too much left hand.
That's funny. Hey, speaking of ex-Steelers, Kevin, I understand you've had a very special relationship with a well-remembered former Steeler. When I say the name Rocky Blyer, what comes to mind?
Character, courage, all-American guy, just the best in the business. You know, during our era, he was our Pat Tillman. He was the guy that said, hey, I got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I got drafted by Uncle Sam. I'll pick up on the Steelers when I come back after doing my duty. A guy that I look up to. We're on the speaking engagement tour occasionally, about once a year. Matter of fact, I just made a phone call to him today. And a guy that I admire greatly, and a guy that when I was at my lowest point, called me on the phone and gave me the kick in the ass that I needed to get moving forward.
Nice. All right, let's get back to present day. It could happen. So what do the Eagles need to do better to get to the Super Bowl this year?
They need to run the football better. If they start running the football, this offense will kick in high octane, better than you saw last weekend. I think the defense will play well enough, but if they get the running game going again, and hopefully we get these linemen back, that'll happen. You will see a high-powered octane offense that will run, and I predict this, when they get all back together, they will at some point in the season run 90 plays.
And finally, Kevin, you were a substitute teacher of his, at least, back in the early 70s, so I've got to know, what was little Billy Furman like as a teenager?
Little. I'll use one word, and I can use it on a family show. He was frisky.
I like it.
There you go. Well, Kevin Riley, I have one question I wanted to throw out at you, too, before we let you off the hot seat. And off of the football side, I know you spend a ton of time helping people, doing charity work, and you're an avid supporter of the Desmond Foundation. I guess that's the correct way to spell it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this desmoid tumor is a tumor that I had 35 years ago, and it's a very rare tumor. Only 1,000 people in the United States get it a year, and because of that, there's no research that was being done on it up until 9 years ago. I'm the longest survivor of this tumor, and if I didn't meet the best surgeon in the whole world at Sloan Kettering Hospital back in 1978, I wouldn't be alive today. And what happened is two women, one that had the disease herself and the other woman whose husband had the disease, they decided over coffee one morning they were going to do something about this, and they started their foundation. And after 9 years, we have now over $2 million in the bank. We're running two clinical studies, and we just had, for the first time, we have our seminar and 5K run every year in Philadelphia. And 2 weeks ago, we had it here, and on Sunday afternoon, we had 25 doctors from around the country and around the world convene to collaborate on what was needed to be done to cure this disease. And the only reason that we're getting that kind of interest right now is because there's a lot of work being done on pathways with cancer. And if you can find a solution to one or two cancers, it could lead to solutions for others. So we're very close to a cure. Like I said, we have two clinical studies going. Guys, I would say within 3 years we will have a cure for this disease, and it'll be a big day. And I'll tell you something. If you gave me a multiple choice, would you rather win a Super Bowl or be around for the demise of this disease? It would be to be around for the demise of this disease. That's how much personally I feel about it and how this is affecting people that now I've gotten to know personally and I want to see it done away with.
All right. A lot of positive news there. And, Kevin Riley, you have also successfully survived our rapid-fire hot seat. Way to go.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, Kevin, do you have time for us to take one call?
Sure do.
All right. Let's bring him on and see who we have. Welcome to the show. You're with Kevin Riley on the Philly Press Box Radio.
Okay. Is it me?
It's you.
It is you.
Oh, my gosh. How about
that? Sounds
this?
Like Mark McClain.
Yes, it is, Chet. I heard Kevin was going to be. Kevin, I really like to hear your voice. I've listened to you for many years, and you inspired me. And I played ball with a guy you may remember down in Delaware County with Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, he was the best.
Yeah, he was a childhood friend of mine, and I grew up with him, and really a class guy. And I just had a reunion with him back in March at the Valley Forge Casino, and the first time Billy and I had seen each other in 48 years. And
I bet he still looks good, Mark.
Oh, I got a picture. Kevin, I'm going to have to tag you. You're a Facebook friend of mine, and I'll have to send you a picture of the two of us that was taken. Very special time for me, very emotional. We were very close together, you know, at that point. But in fact, I was going to ask you, that era of time, we talked about special teams, and I agree 100% with you. I followed the Eagles now since 1958. And this is the best special teams unit that I've ever seen in all the years I've watched them. I was going to say that Coach Phipps would be considered up there as an MVP also of this team. What he's done, and I was at Franklin Field for the practice with my grandson, Kevin, and I actually met Chris Maragos and got a picture with him for my grandson. I asked Chris a question that particular day because I knew he came from Seattle, and their squad had just won the Super Bowl. And I asked him right off the top, I says, well, you came here from a Super Bowl team. I says, now you're playing special teams here. What really attracted you? And the first thing he said came out was Coach Kelly.
Yeah.
So I mean, the impression this coach is having on the your professional players is immense. Actually immense. And it's kind of hard for a guy who's watched this team for decades and decades and decades and seen the ups and downs and the lean years, and you know that as well as I do. But if we compare the defense started to gel last year, mid-year, and toward the end of the year, and that was our run. And listen, 11 shutouts this franchise has had since 1950, and that's quite an accomplishment. I don't care in any level of football.
Well, without doubt.
Yeah.
Mark, do you know that there is a guy that played after me at Salesianum? He was a fullback for Salesianum, an all-state running back. His name was Mark McClain, and he went on to be captain of the Notre Dame football team his senior year.
Somebody contacted me on Facebook with that and asked if I was a relative of him. And I have a friend that's up here in Bucks County by the name of Mark McClain, but he spells it with one C. But I was actually confronted with that, and I said to myself, wow, I've never met anybody or anybody with the same name.
Mark, go on there and Google it. He was an outstanding running back here in the state of Delaware.
Oh, he must be a distant cousin of me then. wishful thinking, that's the way I look at it, you know, to that point. But
well, guys, I'll tell you one other thing that I want to mention before I get off, but you know, one of the momentum changers in this season is going to be something that you're, I'm going to surprise you with. And it wasn't any play itself, but it was a situation that I think brought this team together by their heartstrings. And that was Jason Peters going after Baker from the Washington Redskins without hesitation and with mean intent. That was, you don't do that to my guy in my house. And I'll tell you what, I had goosebumps. I was in the press box with Mike Quick when we saw it all unravel. And I want to tell you something else. I got 10 grandkids, and I'm very familiar with these toys called Transformers. This man looked like a Transformer. He hit Baker in the face mask, knocked him on his rear end. Baker had to grab Peter's face mask in order to get to his feet. And then there were five Washington Redskins surrounding Peters, and he was throwing them around as if they were children. And I went, oh, my goodness, that is a sign that, you know, this team is together. And I think that that was one of the big turning points with this team pulling it together. I know they lost the next game to the 49ers, but they should have won that. But they are playing hard for each other, and that's so important.
Yep.
Hey,
all
Kevin,
right. Well,
one quick favor, Kevin. Tell Rocky Blyer that I said thank you to him for kicking you in your butt, all right? My dad lost both of his legs to diabetes. I grew up with that back in the 70s. He had three incurable diseases. And I love to listen to talk to people who are survivors and the inspiration they have on in sports and people, other people they talk to. And it's so well needed today. So I congratulate you. I pray for you, encourage you to keep going and doing the same thing consistently of what you're doing. I'm going to hang up now, Bill, in that chat. Thank you for letting me have a few moments with your special guest. And you're still doing a great job. And keep up the great work.
Thanks,
it's nice
Mark.
Talking
okay,
to
Mark.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Well,
thank
Kevin,
you, Kevin.
We
hope you
need
fun.
To let you go. We appreciate your time. We kept you a little longer than we planned, but we sure appreciate your insight, and we sure appreciate you joining us.
All right, Chet and Bill, let's do it down the road, maybe sometime in December when it's
sounds good.
Really, really neat.
Sounds
right?
good.
That would be great. Right. Thanks again,
right,
my
bye-bye.
Man. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Chet, let's get our trivia question out there, then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit. We'll take a minute to thank our sponsor, and then we'll talk a little bit about Kevin's comments as well.
Yeah, get that trivia question out there.
All right, here we go. The Eagles trivia question to win the Bill Berge and John Bunning autographed black and white 8x10 courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Here we go. I hold the Eagles' career record for most punt returns in a career. I also hold the record for most punt returns in a season, but I am second in career punt return yardage. Can you name me? We clear on that, Chet?
I'm clear, and I don't know the answer. I got to be honest. I do not know.
All right. Well, just a reminder, our www.shopforkisses.org phone lines are open at 929-477-2855. So feel free to give us a call throughout the show. That is the same number to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. Okay, let's get our sponsor break in here right quick, and we'll get back to it. So we want to thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com. Or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet, while the listeners are mulling over the trivia question, what did you think of let me start out by saying this. Ray Dittinger and Kevin Riley have both spoken extremely well of Chip Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
As you know, I'm not on the Chip Kelly bandwagon yet, and those are two pretty respectable guys. I might have to start to wiggle a little bit.
Yeah, they do think very highly of Chip. In fact, a lot of the media people do seem to think that way, and you can't argue with success. I mean, the expectations weren't that high last year. They went 10-6, made the playoffs, won the division. This year, everybody said, it's a tough schedule. They might not win 10 games this year. Well, they're 5-1. Yeah, they have a tough schedule coming up, but so far so good. Even though it hasn't always been pretty, they are 5-1, and that's the bottom line. Just the way he made the adjustments on Sunday night against the Giants and getting all those sacks against Manning, moving Foles up to avoid the shotgun and get Shady more running room. He makes adjustments. You may have to jump on that bandwagon soon, Bill.
Well, I'm going to slowly take one tiny step, maybe.
All right.
Only because I respect Ray and Kevin so much, but you know, they are playing well, and the defense is really surprising me. I have to say the front seven, which I questioned all along, is really playing pretty well, and I wanted to ask Kevin about the defensive backfield, but we just didn't get time. But you know, I'm hoping they can still survive back there, and they can if they continue to get pressure on the quarterback, and they're sending people from all directions. And certainly, as Kevin said, if you can win the one-on-one battles and not have to be blitzing and getting it done with your front people, well, that makes it all the better. So Billy Davis is doing a heck of a job. I'll have to give him that.
And the DBs surely did up their game on Sunday night. I mean, that was the best they've played all season by far. They were under so much criticism in the spotlight, and they really stepped it up. Just really a nice job by all of the DBs, including the corners. So good to see, and let's hope that it continues post-bye.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was really surprised in that game. I like Tom Coughlin. I hate that he coaches the Giants. But the guy wins, you know. He gets teams like this early in the year, and they just stink the place up, and then they get better and better, and obviously they gain momentum and that won them two Super Bowls. And I'm not sure they've always had anywhere near the most talent, but on Sunday night that football team didn't show up. They were completely confused at everything that happened on both sides of the ball, and the look on his face was like he didn't have a clue either.
And, you know, then it was really funny when they showed him on the sideline at one point and he looked all upset. And then he went over to Chip Kelly and he was smiling and laughing with one of the linesmen. So that was pretty funny, and it pretty much summed up the game right there as far as, you know, who was doing well and who wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what do you think about all this noise coming out of Dallas?
Hey, I tell you. I watched most of the game on Sunday, at least all of the second half. Everybody thought Dallas was going to be mediocre at best this year. They are playing very well. Their offensive line is great. DeMarco Murray is just on fire, 6 straight 100-yard games. And that takes a lot of the pressure off the embattled Tony Romo. So they're definitely a team to be reckoned with, and most of the experts now even have Dallas above the Eagles in the power rankings. So it's going to be interesting, and I'll tell you, Thanksgiving this year is going to be a whole lot of crazy in a lot of households in the Delaware Valley.
I think you're right, and if I'm not mistaken, we would have to go back to see what show is it, but I want to say that your partner said that Dallas is going to be able to run the football, that they spent the last three first-round picks on number one draft picks. And,
you did say that, didn't you, Bill?
Was that me?
It might have been you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can run the ball,
that's
for sure.
We'll be surprised. The big difference down there that I see right now, and it's early, you know, is they do have some weapons, but Jason Garrett has nothing to do with the play calling anymore. Scott Linehan is doing the play calling. Tony Romo is appearing to be somewhat healthy. But we'll see as the season goes on if this is the same old Cowboys that are going to still end up 8-8 or 9-7 or if they're really going to be that good.
Well, the other thing,
though,
was
working
the
magic on the defensive side.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thought it was going to be, you know, a lot of 42 or 35 games for Dallas. It was going to be all these shootouts, and they'd come out on the short end of it a lot of the time because their defense is not that good. But I'll tell you, the defense didn't look bad on Sunday against Seattle. I mean, they dominated that game. If it weren't for Seattle's special teams getting one touchdown and setting up another, you know, Dallas would have blown them out in Seattle. So very impressive performance. I hate to give the Cowboys any kind of credit, but, I mean, they've earned that 5-1 record.
Absolutely. And you know, they made a change with the coordinator position as well. They got rid of Monty Kiffin, who was just, you know, he was a little too old school. So they made a lot of changes over there, and, well, we'll see. I'm not buying into all the Dallas hype, and I even hate everybody talking about it, but it's good. Let's line them up, and let's get after Thanksgiving. Be here before you know it, and it will be fun.
And by the way, let me give kudos. Kudos again to Kevin Riley. He had a tough act to follow with Ray Dinger, but he certainly upheld his end of the bargain, did a great job, lots of great insight. Good to have Kevin on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully we'll get him back, and hopefully we're going to get Ray back again as well.
Yep.
So that'll be good. Hey, I wanted to touch for just one second. The Flyers, by the way, have kicked off the season, in case you didn't realize that it doesn't really start until January.
They don't realize it starts, apparently.
Yeah, we're 0-4 out of the shoot, and we did
get
two ties.
They did get two overtime losses. They can't win a shootout, you know.
Right. I hope, as we sit here only four games in, we're not going to end up spending January, February, and March talking about the Flyers like we talked about the Phillies.
Oh, man. I mean, they can't seem to get off to a good start. Just like last year when they got their coach fired after three games. That didn't happen this year, but, I mean, they are 0-2-2. Let's face it, when it comes to a shootout, they got about a 10% chance of getting that second point because they are the worst team in the NHL when it comes to the shootout. They claim they do practice it. I mean, they've confirmed they do practice it almost every day, but for whatever reason, they just don't have the skilled shooters, the guys who can do that, you know, breakaway goal scoring thing and beat the goalie enough to get that second point. So they're going to have to start winning some games in regulation or overtime because it turns into January pretty quickly in the NHL. And if you're, you know, in 13th place or whatever, that's a long way to come to make the playoffs. I mean, last year they did have that rough first month. They did battle back and get into the playoffs, but you know, you can't wait till January every year to start playing well. So they got to get it moving and fast.
Yeah, well, you know, these games in October count the same amount of points as the games in February. So
they do.
You can't fall too far behind, like you're saying.
Wayne Simmons has five goals, but nobody else.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Right, right. One more thing I wanted to hit on. Hoop season getting ready to start. 76ers are in training camp, and we're going to talk a lot more about them next week as well.
Yeah, we do hope to have a very special guest for that next week, and going to get ready for some Sixers talk. Michael Carter-Williams says he's going to be out a little longer than they originally thought. Hopefully he'll be ready before too long. Nerlens Noel, not looking too bad in what I've seen in the preseason games. He had the double-double the other night, 12 points, 11 rebounds. I think he's certainly got a lot of potential. I mean, yeah, the team's not going to win more than 15 games, whatever, this year, but it's all about building. Like the slogan says, together we build. So this will probably be the low point, and then we start winning a few more games next year and hopefully a lot more games the year after that.
I sure hope you're right. Basketball's a great sport, and it's been missing in Philly for way too long. All right,
yeah,
well, let's hit our trivia question again, since we don't have any callers to guess. So we'll run it out here one more time, and we're going to hold it. If we don't get a winner, we're not going to put it out there on Facebook tonight like we did last week. We're going to hold it over till next week. So here's the question. I hold the Eagles' career record for most punt returns in a career. I also hold the record for most punt returns in a season, but I am second in career punt return yardage. Can you name me? Phone number again, 929-477-2855. Wanted to give another reminder of the upcoming signings in the Delaware Valley in the near future, and it's picking up for sure. Our buddy Carl's at Carl's Cards will be having Flyers R.J. Umberger on October the 23rd, and he has just added Eagles great Bill Berge. Bill will be in the store on November the 8th. That's when the second autograph will get put on the picture along with John Bunning and will be sent out to our winner. So that's November 8th, Bill Berge in Havertown at Carl's Cards. Private signing still with the Big E, Eric Lindros in November, and John LeClair in the store in December. Our friend Matt Rossi at MJR Sports, he's got a lot going on too. He's added a couple signings. Flyers goalie Steve Mason will be at the Springfield Mall in Springfield, PA on October 26th. He will have 76ers big man Nerlens Noel, as you just mentioned, on November the 2nd. And we'll have Flyers Andrew McDonald and Michael Delzato at Pro Image and in the Chamonix Mall on November the 5th. These guys do a great job getting guests in for the fans to meet, and we hope you can support their efforts. They both have Facebook pages and websites, so please check them out. Chet, any quick parting shots for the week?
Nothing from me, but we didn't talk about one thing that you did over the weekend. You were in Virginia for some big show, and you met some great sports celebrities, right?
I did. I had an opportunity to go to the big memorabilia show in Chantilly, Virginia, and I had an opportunity to actually work in the back room where all the action goes on, and it was really cool. Got to meet and work with Steve Carlton, got a picture with him, Hall of Fame and Super Bowl MVP Larry Zonka, got a picture with him. The great Dave Robinson, who was just inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, who's an old Penn Stater and played for Coach Lombardi and the original Packer teams, got to meet him and get a picture and an autograph with him. There were like 25 of the 1972 Dolphins there, Chet. It was really cool. Thurman Thomas, Eric Dickerson, Lawrence Taylor, Rod Carew, Wade Boggs. I mean, it went on and on of Hall of Famers, and it was a lot of fun getting to actually spend time talking to those guys one-on-one. And two particular things, actually. Manny Fernandez, if you remember him, of the no-name defense with the Dolphins.
Yep.
And actually, Kevin played with that group. Manny is just back from his 19th surgery on his back. You know, his back this time and on a cane. But just as nice as he could be, as good a guy. And another one was Garo Yepremian. You know, Garo lives right up there in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. And he runs a foundation there, and you can look him up on his website also just by Googling him. But he battles cancer research as well, or supports cancer research as well, and got to talk to him a good bit too, and another great guy. They were all just as nice as they could be.
Yeah, you had a great big smile on your face in the pictures with both Zonka and Lefty. Very nice to see. Hey, one quick thing. I saw Ray Dinger the other night once again, and he said he'd be happy to come back on our show again. He said he really enjoyed it, so that was good to hear. And also it was great meeting Mark McClain, our caller from earlier on the show, in person the other night. What a great guy, and he had his Chuck Bednarik jersey on, so that was pretty cool to see as well.
Very nice. Did you get your copy of the New Eagles Encyclopedia signed by Ray?
I did. I did get it signed. He said, thanks for the interview. It was great joining you guys on the show last week. So he actually signed that in the book. And I'll tell you, it is a great book, well worth the money. So if you're an Eagles fan, you got to pick it up. Ray Dinger's The New Eagles Encyclopedia.
So that wasn't a Christmas present. That was just a present for Chet.
A present for me from me.
There you go. All right. Well, we're close to the top of our hour, so let's take our time and thank Carl's Cards for their participation on the show. Our special guest, the Eagles' Kevin Riley, as well as Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, www.shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. And, Chet, since we don't have a winner, we will carry over our Bill Berge, John Bunning, 8x10 autograph picture till next time.
Sounds good.
So for Jim Chatchesko, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday night, October the 22nd at 7 p.m. as we talk all things Philly sports. You can listen to our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. Thank you. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.